Morning, Calvary.
Morning.
I trust that y'all have had a great week thus far. What a blessing it is to be back in the Lord's house this morning. I do love to see the fact that James and Megan, they got married last Saturday and then right back to church the very next day, and they're still here and they're inviting people. Where's your brother at, James? It's good to have you with us, young man. We won't hold that against you. You just worship right along with us, and we'll love you in spite of who your family is. You can pick your nose and you can pick your clothes, but you're kind of stuck with your family. So it's good to have you here with us. And if you're here today and you're a visitor, I trust that God's already made you feel welcome, because truly you are in His house. This is His time. Whether you believe it or not, I'm His man for this hour. This is His word that I'll be preaching. So if you've got a copy of God's word, I want to read one verse in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 14, I believe that it is. Proverbs chapter number 14. I'm sorry, it's chapter number 13. But anyway, and then I'm going to be going. The primary text will be in the book of Genesis, chapter number 16. You say, why are you taking one verse out of Proverbs chapter 13, then going back over to Genesis? That's kind of the way the Lord laid it out. But anyway, let me just say it is good to be here today. We're going to do a dedication at the end of the service for young Caroline Matherly. It's so good to have Bryant and Catherine as a part of our church. And if anything Calvary is, Brother Lewis has already brought it up, we've got a lot of weddings and we got a lot of babies. So I like weddings and babies in that order. So we'll just go ahead and say we're going to dedicate little Caroline a little bit later. We tried to do it a few weeks ago, and there's a lot going on. We didn't get it done. But today it's good to have any of the folks that come today to see little Caroline dedicated. This dedication service will not supplant, take place, whatever usurp, whatever word you'd like to use there, the need of Caroline's salvation. It won't do that. We don't believe in infant baptism or sprinkling for the salvation of this baby's soul. We believe that the Lord, whenever Caroline gets of age, she'll the Lord speak to her, and He'll show her the need of a Savior, the same as He did the rest of us. But anyway, if you're here today and you'd like to and you're able, I would like for you to stand in reverence the reading of God's Word. Like I said, Proverbs chapter number 13, and then we're going to be going right back to Genesis 16. But I'll just have you stand for the reading of this very important verse. It's chapter number 13, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated. Everybody good this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all sound good, look good. Well, for the most part, I see Brother Ricky's back with us. Good to see you, Ricky. Good to have each and every one of you. Everybody there in chapter number 13, we're going to read one verse, verse number 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. That is so important. If you read that quickly, you'll miss it. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. You'll get that in just a minute. I want to preach a message today. Why is waiting so hard? Somebody's going to understand. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe preaching to myself. Well, I've been waiting a long time on one prayer. I just have to trust the Lord in it. Brother Gwen Anderson, ask God to bless us, my friend. Anybody's heart ever actually hurt? I'm talking about heartache or heartbreak. I mean, you have longed for something and you have earnestly prayed for something. And I mean, the desire is so deep in your heart. The longing and the anticipation is so deeply ingrained in who you are. It's in your fabric of your life. It's in your prayers. We're going to let these go ahead and pray. Don't worry about who's praying, who's not praying. I don't worry about these that come to the altar. I worry about people that's never been up here. Those ones I worry about. But I'm talking about, has your heart ever hurt? I remember, I guess, one of my earliest memories of a heartbreak was whenever I had signed up for the service. I started dating my wife, and don't think that we had a knee-jerk reaction to a marriage. And if you think that, and that's all right, because we've been married for over 32 years, it worked. We knew each other from very early in life, probably age 13 and 14. Didn't really date each other, didn't really court or whatever you choose to call it, but we were acquaintances, knew each other through high school. We weren't high school sweethearts. She graduated, she went on off to college, and then a year later I graduated. And 6 days after I turned 18, I joined the Air Force. But I was on what they call the deferred enlistment. You said deferred, what does that mean? Same thing it means in this verse of text, whenever it says that hope deferred. It means that it's postponed. It is put off. But 6 days after I turned 18, I enlisted into the U.S. Air Force. But my enlistment date was deferred or put off for yet a few months. Well, in the month of October, after I enlisted in August, I met my wife yet again. I hadn't seen her in a while, and I met her again on October the 5th of 1985. We had a date. We dated throughout the month of October, in November, in December, and I left going to the service 3 months after we really started dating. My heart hurt. She was here, and I was there. Man, I wanted her to be with me. So, I wanted her with me so bad that I told her mom and daddy, I said, I'll wait till I get out of the service until we get married. And I'm telling you what, it was a separation, and it was hurting. My heart was hurting. I was heartbroken. I was homesick. I wanted her to be with me. And I was there, and she was here, and we talked to her parents, and I did. I did it the right way. I went to her daddy, and I asked for her hand in marriage, and we did it the right way. And then about a year and a few months later, I come home from the service and got her and took her with me. And whenever I did that, then you know what? That hole that was in my heart, that hurt, that problem that I had bound down in my heart, brother, it was finally fixed. It was satisfied. Why? Because I had the part that was causing so much grief, I had that part back. Now listen, some of you here today, you're grieving in part because of a separation. It may not be the distance of separation between the love, the eros love that you had between a husband and a wife. It could be that of the mother and father or the daughter and father, like you have lost your daddy and we buried him not long ago. There's a separation there, and your heart still hurts for your daddy, and your heart still yearns and longs for that closeness and oneness. But let me tell you, hope deferred, it does make the heart sick. It makes us feel just down and out and discouraged. Some of you have waited for children. Some of you have been through miscarriages. Some of you have gone through all these different things, and you want a child. Some of you want a mate. Some of you want this. Some of you want retirement. Some of you want this. And let me tell you, hope deferred, it does make the heart sick. But let me tell you, don't stop praying. Don't quit and don't give up on God just because your heart's hurting. Don't throw in the towel and do me this favor. Wait on God. Do me this favor. Do not try to help God out. God does not need your help. You need His, but you do not need God's help. That's why I told you we're going back to the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. Early in Genesis, God had promised Abram and Sarai, before He changed their name to Abraham and Sarah, they were Abram and Sarah. And God had promised them that He would be the father of many nations. I mean, you're going to have kids innumerable. It's going to be unbelievable what I'm going to do with you, Abram. It's unreal what is going to happen. But now, they're in their 90s. If you ain't figured this out yet, there's very few 90-year-olds that I ever have heard of that can get pregnant, and much less that can bear a child in the world and then raise that child. I don't know if it's ever happened other than biblical accounting. People on the other side of the flood lived longer, and back in that day they did. They lived to ripe old ages. The replenishment of the earth was upon God's timetable whenever He said, be fruitful and multiply. And He gave people longevity of life to be able to do the things that people do. And Brother Kenny, I want you to know something. If God promised Abram something and kept His promise, which He did, and I'll show you there in just a minute. If God kept His promise unto Sarai, then God will keep His promise unto you. I don't care if you're sitting behind me in the choir or you're out there. God will keep His promise unto you if He promises you. You say, well, then how can I know that God has promised me something? You've got to go back to the instruction manual. You've got to go back to this and then start praying in earnest, believing and trusting that God knows best. You have to trust that. Yes. Do you realize that yesterday, Casey, in the wedding, he got with me over here in the side room, and I don't tell everybody's business, but Casey said he was nervous. He had sweat dripping off the palms. Brother, you're getting ready to marry, and he's standing on the big stage. Everybody's looking at him. He was nervous. He was just a barrel of nerves. He cared it well, but he said, do something. He told me, he said, Pastor, do something funny. He said, will you say something funny? I said, brother. I said, I have too much respect. I'm thinking in my heart, I have way too much respect for the institution of marriage. I have way too much reverence for this holy place to do too much that would distract from what God's trying to do. Your God's in a holy matrimony getting ready to put two people together. I don't want to mess that up. But did anybody see, did anybody hear, did anybody know what I did to appease that young man? What did I do? What? Ah, somebody was watching. In that wedding, when it comes time for the pastor, by the great powers invested upon me by the state of North Carolina, pronounce you man and wife, and Brother Casey, you may not. What? Pause. What was he wanting to do? Yeah, you know what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to kiss the bride. And I just stood there and looked at him. He's looking at me. And I'm going to tell you what, 5 seconds seems like an eternity when you're waiting on something so important. That's what the preacher always says. I now present it to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Brother, you may now kiss your bride. But if all you hear is, I now present. Why? Because hope deferred makes the heart sick. He's got a kiss coming about now. And I've done made him wait. I had a wedding coming and I had to wait. Abram and Sarah had been promised a child. They don't have that child just yet. So what do people do? I'll just help God. We see everybody in almost every walk of life finding it that it's hard to wait. I don't like waiting. I'm impatient. I don't know why we are like we are, but we want everything right now. That's just the way we are. And we find it very difficult to wait on anything in life. I can imagine young Meghan Marlowe right now. It's 28 weeks now with twins. I can't imagine the anticipation of holding Olivia and Caroline in her hands. Right now, she's holding them in her heart. She's got them in her body. And she's holding these twins, knowing that one of them had maybe suffered a mild heart attack and they did the surgery and done all that. Brother Kenny, she can't wait to deliver those babies and get them in her arms. The anticipation. Each one of you have hoped for something. Some of you parents have hoped for salvation to your children. Some of you may have waited and hoped for salvation to somebody that's in your kindred or acquaintance. Somebody has hoped for their mom and daddy to finally get saved. Somebody has hoped for different things in life, whatever that thing is, and it is hard to wait. We see others doing exactly what we want to do. You know what that does? It sticks a hole right in our heart. You want a baby so bad, I promise you, ladies, when you want a baby so bad, guess what? Everywhere you look, what is it? Somebody with a baby. You want to be pregnant so bad, and then everywhere you look, somebody's got a baby bump. And I'm telling you what, every time you see somebody with what you prayed for and everybody seeing everybody with what you want and what your desire is, I'm telling you what, it's like a dagger to your soul. But hope deferred does make the heart sick. We're going to be in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis for just a little while. It would do our eyes very well to get off of those people. And I know that it's hard, ladies. I know that when you want a child and you can't have one, I know the turmoil. I know the difficulty. I know the struggle. But trust God in it. You're going to have to trust God in that. I'd like to have this. Well, Ryan's got it. That makes me envious of what he's got. The Bible said that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are our three vices. We have a hard time with those. And my eyes see what he's got. My eyes see what this one's attained. And I'm telling you what, I want that. That's what I've been praying for. I wanted that. And now John's got it. I've been hoping for that. And now Brother Danny's got it. I've always wanted a pink blazer. And I don't have one, but Danny's got one. I want a pink blazer. Really, I don't, but... Abram starts out here. So what do they do? What does Abram and Sarai say? Where is it at? And you said, well, the woman was first Eve, was first deceived. Ain't that what the Bible said? That Eve was first deceived, but it was Adam in rebellion. Here it is. It's again a Sarai saying, hey, let's just help God out a little bit. When you decide to help God, you're deciding to hurt yourself. Are you hearing me? If you decide to help God out in the equation of your own prayer life, now I'm not talking about not putting legs on your prayers. There are some times you need to put legs on your prayers. You say, where's that at? You've been praying for mama for 6 months or a year to get saved. You've been praying for daddy to get saved. And all of a sudden, you keep praying, I'm just going to give up on daddy. It's time to put legs on prayers and go tell daddy about Jesus. That's the time that you can help God out. Why? Because he's told you to occupy until he comes, do business. Don't sit there idle, but don't try to help him out into salvation. You can't do that. I tell you what, you're saved. Get up. No, you're not. If you're not, if God don't save you, then you're not saved. In that 16th chapter, look at the first few verses. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. What is that? That, my friends, if the Lord hath restrained her from bearing, could they not go back on the previous promise that God will make you the father and the mother of many nations? If you can't go back and rest on that promise, then what are you going to rest on? So whenever she says these words that the Lord hath restrained me, look at the wording again. And Sarah said to Abraham, behold now, that the Lord hath restrained me. She gives credit to the Lord for the restraining. She gives credit to the Lord for the hope deferred. She wants a child. She doesn't have a child. Hope deferred does what? It makes the heart sick. So what's she going to do? She said, we'll just help God out in this. I'm telling you, my friends, when you start to do that, you're going to mess something up. I don't care to tell you. I'm wanting to retire. I just want to be your pastor. We got 254 people, I believe, in here today. I just want to be your pastor. I've had somebody, even Grant this week, Grant just said, why don't you retire? Brother Grant, I can't. You said, well, you got 30 years, 33 years. Why can't you? Because I have a structure to work within. And I have earnestly prayed unto God. And I'm telling you, brother, I want to retire. And I keep praying that God will make the opportunity. But you got to be careful what you pray for. I could pray the prayer that I'd have a stroke, eat my applesauce out of one side of my mouth, and come in here and be your pastor in a sick, debilitated condition because of a disability retirement. I have to wait on God. I'm reserved to the fact and resolved to the fact that once God offers it, I'm going to walk through that door. But until he does that, I have to wait on him. You don't know, I work for the government. The government says I've got to work till I'm 56. I'm not there yet. I know many of you think that I'm older than that, but I'm not. By the calendar, I've got 4 years. You said, only 4 years? I wish I could retire in 4 years. Pastor this crowd and work 50 hours a week. I do funerals on your lunch break and do those things. Brother, I'm telling you what, hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. Right. Why? Because I want to go do what God wants me to do. God said, wait. Just wait. What's God saying? He said, I got this. Just have to wait. Be patient. I said, okay, God. God, give me men then that'll help me. Hey, I'm Kenny Anderson. I'm Gwen Anderson. I'm Chris, your mate. Chris, you've not always been here. Y'all came here years after I had been here. But here comes young preachers. Here comes young families. Here comes the Phillips family. Here comes the Hambys. Here comes the Shoemates. Here comes this one. Here comes that one. God has given me blessings, and I've not even realized my blessings. Why? Because my heart's been sick. You said, you're telling on yourself. I'm telling on you, if you be honest with yourself. I'm telling you, you want something so bad. You're so urgent in that if you're not careful, you'll mess up. Let's look what they decided to do. So Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. That's not what God said. That's not what God meant. We know the story, or maybe you don't know the story, but let me just say that we fail to see the blessings that we have right now. She could have just said, Abram, God promised you. God promised me a child. So let's just rest on our love, rest on our marriage, rest in the Lord until he makes that happen. But no, Let's help God out. Getting something that you want so bad the wrong way won't make it right. You say, well, getting something the right way make it right. If God promised and you get it the right way, it'll make it right. But getting something the wrong way that God promised the right, you're not going to make it right by doing something wrong. We know the story. Abram goes into Hagar and bears a child. Look down through there with me. Abram said, and Sarah said unto Abram, and Sarah, Abram's wife. Wait a minute, I got to get the back part of verse number 2. It may be that I obtained children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. If we always look ahead to that point, if I always look ahead to retirement, if you always look ahead to that child or that marriage or that whatever, you'll miss the blessings of right now. I'm finding myself ripping calendar pages off quicker and quicker as the years go by. I'm telling you what, time is it's a fleeting and a funny thing. The older I get, the more I realize that, brother, we're just here but a few days. The Bible said just a few days. Now, brother, we're like the grass of the field. And then we vanish the way. But we are a people that want instant gratification. We do. We want self-satisfaction. We want gratification. We want it now. That's why when the signs on it, the Krispy Kreme donut, what does it say? Does it say hot in a few minutes? Does it say hot in 1 hour? Does it say hot 2 hours from now? What does that sign say? When? Paul, it says hot now. And it's all you can do to keep the front end of your car in alignment because it will pull you into that. And you want it now. You go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and you rant and you rave and you're frustrated. And you want somebody that's running the Chick-fil-A drive-thru to come over here and show them how it's done. Why? Because Chick-fil-A knows how it's done. You're in and out there in 12 seconds. You go over there in the other one, then you're still going to have to go in because they forgot your fries. But Brother Kenny, we want instant gratification. We want self-satisfaction. We want what we want. We want it now. Go to Walmart. There's a kid on every aisle standing there screaming, but I want it. But I want it. You got to wait. You got a birthday coming up. Oh, but I want it now. Wait, we got Christmas coming up just a few short months, but I want it now. Brother, that didn't work at the Hall House. Mama spit your, go ahead and tell them, Ryan. She spin your head like a lid on a pickle jar. Yeah, you don't get what you want right now. Got to wait on it. Sometimes you just have to wait. And I'm telling you what, love deferred, hope deferred, marriage deferred, retirement deferred, babies deferred, whatever. Whatever your hope is in, the Bible said hope deferred. Makes heart sick. So, the Bible said that Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband to be his wife. Look at verse number 4. I'm telling you what, when we fail to trust God, look at verse number 1. Sarah, Abram's wife, bare no children. We failed to trust God because God had already given them the promise that they would have children. So when we fail to trust God, we try to help God. And they tried to help him by concocting this plan that Hagar would become the mother of the child. That would be the promise of God. It was not. The Bible says in verse number 4, he went unto Hagar and she conceived. And she saw that she conceived. I want you to look at the latter part of that. What's the latter part of that say? The latter part of verse number 4 says her mistress was despised. It was their plan. It was their concocted story. So why get mad at Hagar whenever you're the one that comes up with the plan that Hagar, you're going to get to come over here and be with Abram? Why get mad at Hagar? Hagar did not introduce herself into that story. It was Abraham and Sarai that did that. It was Sarai that introduced it to Abram, and it was Abram that went ahead and gave in and concocted himself into that story and said, okay, I'll just go into the Egyptian woman. And then it said that they despised her. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Oh, but I love, this is Amnon. Amnon's crying out, oh, but I love Tamar. I love my sister. I love my sister. I love my sister. So what happens? Jonadab says, you want her? Bring her in here. Make yourself sick. The king will send her in here. When the king sends her in here, have your way with her. What happened, Brother Kenny? After that he had his way and raped his own biological sister, what happened to him? He hated her. The same as Abram and Sarai despised Hagar. What happened to Abraham happened unto the story of Amnon and Tamar. The Bible said that he hated her more so than he ever loved her. You realize helping God sometimes will put you in a precarious position? Are we all right today? Amen. It's probably not a shouting message. Why? Because every one of us have trouble waiting. Every one of us do. I do. So we go back into our scriptures one more time, and you can see the buyer's remorse set in about verse number 4. The Bible said he went into Hagar and she bare a son, conceived a son. And the Bible then says that her mistress was despised in her eyes. Anybody ever had buyer's remorse? Y'all know what buyer's remorse is. That's when you pull the trigger on something and you make the purchase. You do the deed. It could be sinful. It could be monetary. But you do that, and whatever that action is. Brother John, you think you got to have it, and you go do it. And then afterwards, you've got great and deep regret. There they are. They've got buyer's remorse for what they just did. Why? Because they tried to circumvent the very plan of Almighty God. God's plan is omnipotent. It's perfect. He's all-knowing, so he'll make it right in the long run. He sees the beginning from the end, but we can't see that. Now we see through a glass darkly. We can't understand what's about to happen 4 years, 5 years down the road. And that's the way that God planned it. Varun, if you saw your life 10 years down the road, you'd start making detours now. You'd change things. If you knew the plan that God had for you, Brother Kenny, you'd do something different. I know that I would have. And I know that if I would have, you probably would have as well. We'd have done something different. You wouldn't have got on that plane. You wouldn't have got on that boat. You wouldn't have made that trip. You wouldn't have dated that guy. You wouldn't have dated that girl. You sure would not have put yourself in a position to be alone with that person. You wouldn't have done that. You would have changed things. If so be it that you knew the will of God on down the line. But the thing is, God, he said, you just got to trust in me and hope. Keep on hoping. Keep on hoping. I want to show you something. I wrote this down in my Sunday school class this morning. How long did Noah hammer and drive pegs and saw wood? How many? 120 years. Brother Scott, when the Lord visited Noah, the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Said it's going to rain, the heavens are going to open up, the springs beneath are going to come forth, going to have water coming both ways. And I'm telling you right now, you got to build an ark of safety to the saving of humanity. And you got to be a preacher of righteousness and get these people in that boat. 120 years. Brother Scott, do you realize the 120-year time span? That means about the year 1900, the turn of the century. I'm telling you, a man starts telling you, listen, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. Or the Lord's sending judgment. And I'm building this boat. I'm driving pegs and cutting timbers. Get on board. You got to help me get in here. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to do what God said to do. Don't you think that 120 years was a long time to Saul? Don't you think that's 120 years is a long time to drag timbers? Don't you think that 120 years is a long time to preach and to preach and to preach and to preach? To only see 8 souls? Brother Kenny, that's what it was, 8. 120 years is a long time to wait. God said, get out of Egypt. I'll send you a deliverer. His name is Moses. Don't you think that about year number 10, Brother John, they're worried now? Think my clothes are getting a little threadbare. Think my shoes are looking a little worn. God's thinking, now you got 30 more years with them shoes. You got 30 more years with that raiment. Don't you think about year number 20, they're thinking, are we ever going to get out of this wilderness? Who in the world's leading us anyway? You said, well, it wasn't Moses that led them over. No, it was Joshua. Moses had to die out there because of his own sin. He was told to speak to the rock and he smote it the second time because he did what he did the first time the wrong way. Brother, don't you think about year number 30, they're despising the man that was leading them? Don't you think that 40 years, Brother Kenny, is a long time to wait? God's promised us a land. Joshua said, hey, we got to send some spies out. We need to know what's over there. Or Moses, we got to send some spies out. We got to know what's over there. Here comes a couple guys carrying a pole, got grapes on it. I mean, talking about just grapes abundant and everything's going on. And the two comes back. Joshua and Aaron said, it's just like God said. Got two that said, go get it. Let's go take it. Got 10 that said, we can't do that. The sons of Anak are over there. They got big old long necks. They're giants. So we can't do that. So what'd they do, Brother Kenny? Keep marching. Just keep walking around in the wilderness. Can you imagine Simeon when he said that the Bible said that Simeon, I'm at the birth of Christ now, Brother Scott. Simeon was an old man. Do you remember they summoned him from the temple and he got to hold up the Christ child and he says, what did he say? He said, mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because he had been waiting for that consolation. He had been waiting for that. I don't know how long he had waited, but he was an old man and he was faint in his eyesight. But I can imagine the length of time that he waited. It wasn't no walk in the park. Can you imagine when John the Baptist was about to be beheaded and he's in the prison? You think that was a hard wait? You better believe it was a hard wait, Grant. Why? Because while he's in the prison, he hears the footman coming. He hears the jingling of the jailer's keys every time they walk up and down the hall. And John has to know that his head is in a charger before dark. He has to know that that's coming. Why? Because he put his finger on the sin and he said, it ain't even right for you to do what you're doing. He called out the sin and Herodias said, I want his head. That's the way it boiled down. You said it didn't hurt John's heart. You better believe that it did. Why? Because John said, I want you to get word back to him. What did he ask him, Brother Gwen? He said, is he the one? Ain't that what he said? Am I making this up? You theologians of the Word of God know what I'm saying. John said, you get word back to him. You get back word back to him and ask him, is he the one? Or do we look for another? And that's when it said the birds have nests, the trees, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You let God take care of what God takes care of, and you take care of what's in your charge. You said, what is in my charge? Raising your kids in a godly fear, God-fearing home. Bringing them to the house of God. Loving your mate, your spouse, your loved one. I'm talking about love your neighbors, yourself. The same thing that we preach all the time. The same thing Lewis opened up with. Same thing Scott talked about. Love. Love each other. I can't imagine Abram. Look at chapter 17, verse number 1 of the book of Genesis, where we're at. I'm not talking about somebody in the prime of their life. Have I got anybody here that's 90 that will admit it? Brother Potts is 90. Can you imagine, Brother Potts? He's 9 years older than you. Look at that verse, 17 and 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You said, what's that about? He's getting ready to get the word to him and his 90-year-old wife. That guess what? You remember that son I promised you? It wasn't Ishmael. It was not through handmaiden. It was not from the Egyptian. It was not Hagar's child. You tried to help me, and I don't need your help. I just need your obedience. I just need you to be patient and wait, because hope deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when it comes, what is it? It's like a tree of life. Can you imagine, brother, that the 400 quiet year between the old and the new, I'm talking about hope deferred, Brother John. Where is this man that would come? Where is this Savior? Where is this Messiah? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And then he steps out on the scene. Born of a virgin, 30 years of just like myself, flesh, carnal, working. I'm not talking about carnal sinful. He's working. He's laboring in his daddy's shop. He would even come in and said, is this not the carpenter? Yeah, he was a worker. But that last 3.5 years, Brother Kenny. Don't you think that some whose hearts had been heavy and that hope had been deferred said, this is him. Yeah, this is him. We've been waiting on him. My God, now he's doing the miracle that he said he would do. We've been waiting on him. And then all of a sudden they crucified him. Put him in a grave. That's why those that come to the tomb, what happened to them, Brother Kenny? They were down. The two that walked along the Emmaus Road, their hearts were so saddened. He enjoined himself to them and said, are you just a stranger here? Why? Because he said, why are you walking along so sad? Why? He said, are you just a stranger here? Do you not know what took place back at Jerusalem? How that they've killed the Prince of Life? How that they killed the hope and the consolation? We had hope that he was the one. Brother Kenny, that grave must have seemed final. When they rolled that stone in front of the tomb, Brother Gwynn, that had to seem final. put guards out there to make sure that he was steadfast in there. He wasn't getting out. And then come early on that first day, the stones rolled away. He's not in there. I'm telling you what, the Bible said that hope deferred, but when it comes, Brother Scott, what is it? It's like a tree of life, and that's what it was unto them. That's what he is unto us. And let me tell you, waiting is not easy. It is hard for me. It's hard for you to wait on the consolation of God. It's hard for us to wait on his plan. It's hard for us to see his purpose. It's hard for every single one of us. Jesus became, listen to this, just because God makes us wait, it doesn't mean that he won't answer. Just because it's not right now doesn't mean that it won't happen next week or next month or next year. And just because you're having to wait, I want to go to another place in the scripture. Go with me to the book of Psalms. I'm going to go two more places and we're going to close really quickly. Psalm chapter number 27, Psalm 27. I know some of you in here. Can I tell you, Catherine, can I use you and Bryant? The church knows about that Caroline's a rainbow baby. Y'all know what a rainbow baby is. A rainbow is a baby that's born after the miscarriage, right? Honey, you were crushed. Mimi, you were crushed. That's what you do for a living. You deliver babies. You wouldn't trade her for 20 just like her. Ain't nothing like little Caroline. Where's my Matherly's up here? Ain't that something, that little sweet little baby? But y'all were heartbroken to find out that your son's little baby is no longer with us. Let me tell you, it has to hurt. I've never gone through that. We didn't never have a miscarriage. Thank God that ours turned out halfway well. One of them turned out okay. But at the time, all hope is lost. It's terrible. It is. It's terrible. The Bible says, and I'm in the 27th chapter of the book of Psalms, and I want you to see the promises that's written in the Word of God. 27 of Psalm, verse number 13 said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah, we quote this, is probably one of the most painted pictures. It's probably one of the most quoted scriptures, especially concerning those that are having to wait. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 30 and 40, 31 says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And then the young men, they shall utterly fall. But, I love the but, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Miss Macy, come before we do the dedication. Just play us something softly. Brother Scott, if you want to come get us a song.